Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the 10th canto, the Samam Bonam. And we're on chapter 5, the meeting of Nanda Maharaj and Vasudev. And we're on text number 8. Maharha Vastrabharana. Maharha Vastrabharana. Kanchukoshnisha. Bhushitaha. Kanchukoshnisa Bhushitaha. Gopa. Samayayu Rajan. Gopa Samayayu Rajan. Nanupayana. Panaya. Nanupayana Panayo. Maharha Vastrabharana. Kanchukoshninsa Bhushitaha. Gopa Samayayu Rajan. Nanopayana Panaya. Maharha Vastrabharana. Kanchukoshnisa Bhushitaha. Gopa Samayayu Rajan. Nanupayana Panayo. Vaishnavis.
Thank you.
Maha-arha. Extremely valuable. Vastra-abharana. With garments and ornaments. Kanchuka. By a particular type of garment used in Vrindavan. Ushnisa. With turbans. Ushitaha. Being nicely dressed. Gopa. All the cowherd men. Samayayu. Came there. Rajan. O King Maharaj Pritchett. Nana. Various. Upayana. Presentations. Panayo. Holding in their hands. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. O King Parikshit, the cowherd man dressed very opulently with valuable ornaments and garments, such as coats and turbans. Decorated in this way and carrying various presentations in their hands, they approached the house of Nanda Maharaj. Please repeat. O King Parikshit, the cowherd man dressed very opulently with valuable ornaments and garments, such as coats and turbans, decorated in this way, and carrying various presentations in their hands, they approached the house of Nanda Maharaj. Purport. When we consider the past condition of the agriculturalist in the village, we can see how opulent he was, simply because of agricultural produce and protection of cows. At the present, however, agricultural having been neglected and cow protection given up, the agriculturalist is suffering pitiably and is dressed in a niggardly torn cloth. This is the distinction between the India of history and the India of the present day. By the atrocious activities of Ugra Karma, how we are killing the opportunity of human civilization. Prabhupada says, exclamation point. Om Gyana Tamalandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chaksus Unmeditam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manu Bhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Upagata Madamant Tadati Mantit Vanti Kam Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. O King Parikshit, the cowherd man dressed very opulently with valuable ornaments and garments, such as coats and turbans, decorated in this way and carrying various presentations in their hands, they approached the house of Nanda Maharaj. So we see here India of history, and we obviously have seen India of the present day. So we're getting a glimpse of the power of bhakti. Bhakti is not just a philosophy, but it's actually a culture. It's a way of life. It includes everything to make everyone, of no matter what varna or ashram you are, to be completely happy. And we could see the village people, these are simple village people. And they have more wealth than our millionaires of today. Maybe externally you can compare and see the difference. Maybe there's up and down. But internally, the wealth that they have cannot be compared to anything. We can show opulence externally by your clothes, by your car, your house, whatever. But internally, you could be very poverty-stricken. And the devotees in India, in very simple village life, even today, they may be very poverty-stricken, but yet inside, they're very, very wealthy and completely happy. And why? Because, as I mentioned in my previous class, the cow, how important it is. And we analyze just one aspect of the cow, just the cow dung. We analyze that in the whole class, how important it was. So just see, taking care of the cow, the opulences that are given, you make the cow happy, and you become happy. And we can see they're very happy here. And this is what Krishna consciousness is all about, happiness. Utilizing everything for Krishna. Krishna consciousness doesn't mean, oh, we have to renounce everything. You know, everything, it belongs to Krishna, therefore we shouldn't have anything. Like I remember when I was also a new devotee, and there was a new bhakta, and he thought Krishna consciousness means we have to give everything away. Give it away, throw it away. So he had a nice watch, and he threw it across the street. Just threw it outside. I thought, I don't know if that's really renunciation, but... So anyway, we use everything for Krishna. Just like when Srila Prabhupada came, in 1966, they had the first wedding. And that was with Mukunda, now Mukunda Maharaj, and his wife, Janaki. And it's interesting how previously, a few days before that, they had an initiation ceremony. And they decorated the temple very nicely. So then a few days later, they had this marriage ceremony. And they decorated the temple even much more than it was for the initiation. And Srila Prabhupada himself personally conducted it. He personally cooked probably over 15, who knows, 20 preps. And devotees were cooking. I think Jamuna was cooking. She was making samosas or kachoris or something. And Janaki was decorating. So they spent like from 11 to 5 p.m. just cooking and decorating and getting all so much preparations. And then Srila Prabhupada, he actually shocked everybody. Because he told Janaki how she should dress. We just saw a wedding here just a few days ago. How the bride dresses. And she put on makeup. Prabhupada had to put makeup on wherever the eyes and wherever else they put makeup. And beautiful sari. Silk red sari. And she had jewelry. She was wearing jewelry. And people were shocked. Isn't Krishna consciousness about renunciation? Should we just, you know, if we have our way, we'll just renounce everything and just go chant Hare Krishna in your kopans. Is that renunciation? No, but we actually use everything for Krishna. So Prabhupada had them dressed so nicely, and Mukunda was dressed so opulently, very nice, and people were shocked. It was amazing that this opulence should be used like this. And Prabhupada was very pleased. He wanted this. They invited so many guests. People came. And we can see Prabhupada is showing how Krishna consciousness is all about utilizing everything for Krishna. Even beautiful clothes. Wonderful opulence, jewelry, so many things. But it was all meant for a sacrifice. It was all meant for pleasing Krishna. That's why the gopis, they dress so nicely, not to show off their own beauty, but to see that this body is actually Krishna's, so I should take care of it and present it to Krishna so nicely. So this is the right consciousness, not that, oh, I'm got so much personal beauty or strength or opulence, and let me show it off. And then other persons thinking, you know, enviously thinking, oh, why do they have pearls? I'm going to get diamonds. Or why is they wearing that dress? You should get me a dress like that. But it wasn't like that. People are so much enjoying each other's association and seeing how what opulence we're offering to Krishna. The gopis were saying, oh, wow, what the beautiful sari that gopi has. It's so wonderful. It's offering that to Krishna. So it's not like in his festivals that they have, they're all envious of each other. But everybody was very happy. Everybody was pleased to serve Krishna in whatever way they could. If they were poverty stricken and they could serve Krishna just with whatever they had, then that was accepted. But if you were a grihastha and you were a villager and you had opulence, you could serve Krishna in that way. And this is what's showing here. So it's so nice how Srila Prabhupada brought this wedding ceremony, and people were so... It was so nice because it was a sacred vow. They're offering their lives to Krishna. It's not that during a sacrifice that you have to kill something. Like in the Vedic times we read when the dacoits, they kidnapped Bhart Maharaj or Jada Bhart, and they're going to offer him for sacrifice. So they dress him very nicely, bathe him, put ornaments, dress him nicely so that they could just cut his throat. That's not sacrifice, so it's meant for it. But sacrifice means that you are offering your life to Krishna. That's why Prabhupada wanted us to take these marriage vows and perform these sacrifices and these ceremonies so that we can get purified and utilize everything for Krishna. So this is so nice. And Prabhupada mentions here in the last sentence, very powerful, the atrocious activities of Ugra Karma, how we are killing the opportunity of human civilization. What does Ugra Karma mean? Anybody know?
Horrible works.
Horrible works, yeah. I was looking in the Veda base on Ugra Karma, and I was like, I found so many definitions. You want to hear some? That's so nice. These are some definitions Prabhupada gives in Srimad Bhagavatam and some of the other books. So one is gigantic industrial enterprise or trade. Pungent activities. Distressful. Stupendous. Horrible activities. Extremely severe endeavor. Unnecessary work for sense gratification. Ferocious, fearful, atrocious activities. Hard or difficult task. Vast machinery, everything complicated. And then he also had some interesting definitions. Slaughterhouses, breweries, cigarette factories, nightclubs. Even called it Asuric Karma. And here's an interesting one. Jagai and Madai. And he also, Ugra Jatis. Prahlad Maharaj actually, out of humility, called himself Ugra Karma. Because I was born in the Ugra Jatis. I was born in this demoniac family, and all they're interested in is Ugra Karma. And this was the difference between Hiranyakashipu and Prahlad. Hiranyakashipu was interested in Ugra Karma, but Prahlad was in the mode of goodness, actually pure goodness. And he was just interested in simple life, chanting Hare Krishna, you know, and be happy. So this is what he was interested in. But actually this Ugra Karma is so horrible. We see it happening today. Simply people can live with light they used to make from castor seeds, right? And they would press them and make oil and then have light to see. But today they have to make this complicated machine to produce electricity. Or simply in the village times, like as we're reading in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the 10th canto, because the residents were they living in Nandagram at that time? And it was so many demons, so he said to move to Vrindavan. They're moving to Vrindavan. And what was their transportation? They just had bullock carts. And within 1 hour, just 1 hour, they were moved the whole village and the people, their clothes, everything, to another village. They just put it on the carts. But today we have to make these huge, big buses and trucks and cars and things. And in order to get the fuel, they have to perform ugra karma. And one example is they have to go to the bottom of the ocean and dig into the ocean bed. What an endeavor, huh? Talk about extremely severe endeavor. And we see the result of that was that the whole ocean practically polluted now. You go to the beach and you're lucky if you don't get your feet stained with the oil tar that comes afloat. Yeah. See, people, I come home one time and my whole foot was black. I had to scrub and scrub and scrub. This is a result of ugra karma. It's a very pitiable condition, and they're killing the opportunity of human civilization. They don't even know what human civilization is. There's two types what does Prabhupada say, mentalities. There's the introspective, and then there's the extrovert, or whatever. What's that one? Extrovert. So the person who's just extrovert, he's just interested in what's out there, what to get for me and mine. This is yours, this is mine. And I'll fight you for that, and we'll fight for this. This is my country, India. This is my country, America. We have to fight and engage so many unnecessary activities. And we see this going on today. We see so much happening in our political disaster today. What are they doing? All noise. Just making noise, fighting, finding fault, criticizing, judging, bringing out dirt. Just making noise, but making no difference in society because of their ugra karma mentality. And this is all because they're forgetting the whole purpose of life. They're forgetting Krishna. This was what the whole focus of this whole, the gopis and the village people, everybody, they're just only interested in pleasing Krishna. In everything. Always constantly thinking of Krishna. And this is what Krishna was instructing Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, to always think of me. How can you do it in the middle of a battlefield? This was shown. How can we do it even though we may be working in a factory? This is shown. Always think of me, become my devotee, always worship me, offer homage to me. Man mana bhava mad bhakto. Just always think of Krishna, always chant Krishna's name. So this was proved by Arjuna. Even though he was engaged in a ghastly warfare, he was thinking of Krishna. We may be engaged in some kind of job, but we can also think of Krishna. That's how you can purify everything. Everything can be purified. There's a very nice conversation that I found, and Srila Prabhupada was talking. We were talking about these automobiles and pollution and so many things. And Prabhupada said, I read an article. It was called Cars, Profits, and Pollution. And he was talking about it. It's very nice. And how, okay, they create a solution to so-called a problem. You know, why use the carts, the bullock carts, you know, just make cars. So let's make profit. So they make profit. But what do you get? Pollution. And now there's so much more problems because of that. Pollution, the air, we could just go on and on. But anyway, Prabhupada was reading that and he's using that as a point here. So he said, sense gratification is that we just act for our senses. But if we engage our senses in Krishna satisfaction, then that's the secret. That's the example of Arjuna he gave. And in that way you can become perfect. So Prabhupada writes here, so our this Krishna conscious movement is so nice that we do not say immediately to stop. Just like cars, profits, and pollution. The very nice description of these three things. But there is no suggestion of remedy. That he does not know. If he suggested a remedy, now stop all cars driving, or stop this nonsense business, that is impossible. That is craziness. So we don't say that you stop it, But we say, purify it. Just like there is pollution. So pollution is there. You cannot stop manufacturing cars or driving cars. That's not possible. But you can purify the pollution. That is possible. So these are two gentlemen that Srila Prabhupada was talking to. One guy's name was Popworth. And he couldn't understand what Prabhupada was talking about. How do you purify? What's your solution? How is that possible? So Prabhupada says, what do you mean? What do you suggest for purifying it? And Prabhupada says, that means that our process is that wherever we go, we perform sankirtan, chant the holy name of God. That purifies. Cheto darpana marjanam. It doesn't matter where it is. Even if we go to the factory, anywhere, we can go to the hell even. But the process is a very simple thing. Chanting the holy name of the Lord. So what possible objection can there be? Suppose if we go to a motor car factory and we ask them, please give us some chants, we shall chant here the holy name of the Lord. So what would there be their objection? So, you know, what can they say? But this other man, his name is Shoemaker, he said, I don't see the point. He says, no. So he says, yes. So let us get this chance. Simple method. Let us go anywhere, hell or heaven, it doesn't matter. Let us have this chance to speak something about God, that's all. And we don't want anything from you in exchange, that you give us some money. No, we don't want it. If you give us something, it's welcome, but we'll use it for Krishna service. But we don't demand anything. You know, first give me $100 or something. So from the other side, there is no loss. But if they give us a chance for prosecuting, for pursuing this Hare Krishna movement, everything will be purified. Cheto darpana marjanam again. All problems will be solved. This is the beginning. Now, gradually, as people understand this philosophy, they will understand. If they simply give us a chance, let them remain in their position, we don't disturb. Simply, they will kindly give their oral reception what we are speaking. So he still couldn't get the point. He doesn't see how chanting is going to affect pollution. How do you see that? So Prabhupada tries to explain further. He says, it's a purificatory process. Pollution means impure. So if you purify, then the chanting is going to affect the pollution, right? Just like infection, you have some disease, then you take some medicine or vaccine that will purify the body. And then the infection's gone. So the Prabhupada is, one of his disciples trying to explain. He said, I think there are a difference between the usage of the word pollution. You know, they're not understanding how pollution of the air is related to Prabhupada's trying to say purification. So he says here, how will the chanting affect that? He's asking that. So Prabhupada says, that you do not know. You have to realize when you give us the chance. But if you give us the chance, there's no loss on your part. But you'll practically see how it is rectified, how it is. So he says here, and then his devotees bring in the point that pollution is the same thing as material activities. And Prabhupada says, yes. And then Prabhupada goes on. There are many things. What is material activity? What is spiritual activity? These are being understood. But we are sure, if you simply give a chance that anywhere, let us execute Krishna consciousness movement by chanting Hare Krishna Ma Mantra and speaking something from Bhagavad Gita, we are getting practical result. So then the conversation went on and he said, just like in the communist country, we're doing this. And then Srila Prabhupada had one of his disciples explain that, yes, we go to these youth festivals, and that was during the time of Prabhupada. And he said that we're surrounded, the devotees are surrounded by hundreds of people asking questions, taking notes about Krishna consciousness. So you could just see people are eager for something real, something purifying. And this is Krishna consciousness. So we just give it a chance. We have to give it a chance in our own lives, purify our consciousness from all these dirty things, this greed, this anger, this lust, this ugra karma. And then we will be completely happy. We'll be blissful. So this is very nicely described. Otherwise, what are we using this human life for? It's just wasting it. Prabhupada says, what is the purpose of getting this human life? What do we understand? Otherwise, we waste our life like cats and dogs. But our main business is to understand God. Atato Brahma Jignasya. So there's an interesting story that I heard. Lord Brahma, he created this donkey. And he said, you may live for 30 years. And the donkey said, no, that's too long. The donkey is like an abominable body and you have to work so hard for nothing practically. And he said, okay, that's too long. Then I'll take 12 years away and you could live 18 years. Okay, and then Brahma created this dog and he said, okay, may you live for 30 years. And the dog said, no, I don't. That's too long for a dog. It's, you know, it's living in the streets and so much filth. And, you know, who knows if you get a good master. And he said, okay, I'll take 18 years away from you. So you could live for 12 years. And then he created a monkey. And he said, okay, monkey, live for 30 years. And the monkey said, no, I'm swinging around these trees all this time and practically no trees anymore. So he said, that's too long. And he said, okay, well, I'll take 20 years and you can live for 10 years. And then Brahma created man. And he said, okay, live for 30 years. He says, no, that's too short. He goes, you know, it's like just too short. By the time I get 30 years, I just achieved my PhD and then I want to get a job. And he says, okay, well, we took 12 years from the donkey, so we'll add 12 more years. So that'll be 42 years. And he says, 42 years? By that time I'll be married and I'll have grandkids or I want a child. I want to have time to take care of my kid and enjoy my married life. He says, okay, well, we'll give you, we took 18 years from the donkey, so we'll give you 18 years. So now you could be 60 years old. Right, keeping track. You're awake, Jai. So he said, I'll be 60 years old, but by that time I'll be retired, and that's when I want to enjoy my grandkids. So come on, give me some more life. So he says, okay. So we took, 10 years from the monkey? Add another 10 years. No, he took 20 years from the monkey. Yeah. So, okay, so now he has 80 years. So now he's like that. And so then, what happens to the man? 30 years, maybe he's living like a man. But then the 12 years he took from the donkey, he lives like a donkey. He has to work like a donkey, like an ass, right? And then when he gets older, he got some years from the dog. So then he becomes like a dog, you know, just getting scraps. Living like a dog, trying to enjoy sense gratification. And then when he gets old, he's just like a monkey, right? Doesn't have any place to live, just wanders here and there. So this is life. So this is all due to forgetfulness of Krishna. Understanding the aim of life, not to live life like cats and dogs and donkeys and monkeys, but actually to attain God consciousness. So this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did. We mentioned Jagai Madai. This is Ugra Karma. But Lord Chaitanya's movement is so powerful that even he proved how he can deliver the poppies and the toppies. And this was Jagai Madai. This is the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's that one song, Papi Tapi Yata Chilo Harinama Udarilo. So this same flow, Srila Prabhupada said, is going on in the Krishna consciousness movement. We can purify all these poppies and toppies. So this Krishna consciousness movement is just amazing. The proper opportunities that we have, if we just take it up very sincerely and very sincerely. Hare Krishna. So yeah, this is what we have today, so many distractions to keep us away, our consciousness away from Krishna, external attractions. So we have to become introspective and actually try to purify ourselves. Otherwise we'll think, just like the villages now, they're so degraded, right? So everybody's rushing to the city thinking, oh, this is like heaven. But you come to the cities, it actually is like hell. It's not any better than the villages. But with Krishna consciousness infiltrated into society, we can bring in this Krishna culture and purify society so that they can actually become happy again and they can gain their natural wealth, their natural beauty, their natural strength, their natural health, just by living according to Krishna's plan, not our own independent plans, with the false ego thinking, I can change the world with Ugra Karma. So I'll end with this nice verse from the Narada Bhakti Sutra. Lokipi Bhagavad Guna Shravanan Shravana Kirtanat. One achieves bhakti by hearing and chanting about the Supreme Lord's special qualities, even while engaged in the ordinary activities of life in this world. So this is our process. Simply some or another, Shravana Kirtanat. And that's what we're doing. So thank you very much. Any comments or questions? Realizations? Okay. Thank you for your kind attention. All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Don't put it on.